Welcome. I'm Nestor Flores, the pastor of Dayspring Church in Mission Hills, California. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast. I want to invite you to learn more about Dayspring Church by visiting our website, dayspringmh.org. We trust that if you open your heart, God will speak to you and you'll know how to live a life with God at the center that will result in a blessed life. This message will inspire, build your faith, and help you to know God better. Enjoy the message.
Amen. Well, we are in a series that we've titled Bold Prayers. And what we're doing in this series is that we're going to not just encourage you to pray, but most importantly, we want to do two things. We want to help you to pray differently, because most of us, we pray very safe, very small prayers. And we want to encourage you to have a bigger faith, to have bigger courage, to be more audacious, and to pray more boldly. But we don't just want you to pray more boldly. We believe that the way you pray also impacts the way you experience God. And we want to encourage you to experience God in a greater way. I want to remind you that this series, we started last week, this series is going to lead us all the way to our revival weekend. And let me tell you, you need to save the dates. Can we put that next graphic? You need to save the dates. September 12th, 13th, and 14th, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we're going to get together, and we believe that God is going to do something amazing. Okay, I got like three people that believe that with me. Okay? Let me tell you something. I am so confident that I began to birth expectations within me of what God is going to do. So much so that I'm not kidding you. Yesterday, I woke up at 4 in the morning to go on an early run so that I could be here at prayer at 8 a.m. And as I was running, I was talking to the Lord and I was declaring to him the things that I believe he's going to do. And I began to cry as I was running. I felt the Holy Spirit as I was running. And it got me thinking, man, if God can do that as I'm running, I am excited about what he's going to do when we're in church together as a family. Amen? So I want to encourage you. I know you're not excited yet. I know you're not excited yet because as Pastor Byron mentioned, we need to put some water on that dry soil. But you got to get excited. God is going to do something wonderful. We're going to be doing a lot of really cool things at the beginning of the month, starting Monday, September 1st. We're going to do a fast. We're going to be inviting you to choose a fast of your own. If you want to do food, if you want to do technology, if you want to do your kids. No, I'm just playing. You can't fast your kids. That'd be a wonderful fast, right? We're going to invite you to choose a fast. And listen, the fast is about emptying ourselves so that God can fill us. Me personally, I am going to do an absolute fast every day from 9 p.m. to 3 p.m. the next day. That is the fast that I've chosen to do. So we're gonna in the next week, we're going to give you more information. We're going to give you some examples. We're going to encourage you to do that. And then on Sunday of that weekend, we're going to end with a big party. And we're going to eat together after the service for free. Tony, Manolo, what's going on today? Well, I'm getting so many good news. You guys are like that teenager that gets all these gifts, and they're just like this stoic, just difficult face. Like, okay, I guess. Amen. Okay, let me tell you one more story before we jump into the message. Hopefully this encourages you. Remember last week I shared to you the example of Nathan, how he wanted a spaceship and how I bought it. So what I didn't tell you last week is that I didn't have that in my notes. Right before coming up, I felt from the Holy Spirit that it was a good story and that it connected with the points, right? To go to the Father, to enjoy the Father, to ask. And so I told you that story, not knowing that God had something greater in mind. Because if you remember, I told you that he wanted a spaceship and I bought it for him, but then he wanted a bigger spaceship. He wanted the Millennium Falcon. If you're a Star Wars fan, you know what I'm talking about. Well, guess what happened this week? Let me show you a picture. Now, hold on. Not only did he get his Millennium Falcon, I didn't even have to buy it. Because on Tuesday, his uncle, Angel, came to church and he said, hey, I got a gift for Nathan. Can I drop it off? And when he dropped it off, he told me what it was. And here's the best part. This is such an exclusive toy that they've only made 3,000 of them. And do you want to guess what number that is? Number one of 3,000. Now, I know some of you guys are thinking, oh, that's pastor's kid. He's spoiled. No. Hear me out. I really believe that God is at work at this to tell you, if I can work in little things like this, how much more can I not work in the things that matter in your life? Amen. But here's the thing. It takes being obedient. It takes believing. It takes wanting. So here's what I want to invite you to do. I want you to get pregnant with me in expectation. And to say, God, those things that we prayed for, we believe that you're going to do it. Did you guys get like weird out because I said pregnant? Expand your horizons, people. Okay, get filled with expectation, okay? So we are believing that. Amen. So that's what we're doing. Here's what I want to do today. Next week, we're going to talk about how to pray boldly for yourself. Because a lot of times, it's easier to pray boldly for other people than it is for ourselves. What I want to do today is I want us to look at the key to answer prayers. Most of us don't pray because we've prayed before and our prayers don't get answered. But here's what the Bible tells us in Psalms 2:8. Let me set the ground for you. The Bible gives us permission to make bold prayers. If you think this is just about hype, if you think that I'm just trying to pump you up, I am not. I am teaching you the Word of God, and the Word of God gives us permission to make bold prayers. Can I prove that to you? Psalm 2:8, look at what it says in your outline. This is God speaking, and he says what? Ask me, pray. To ask God is to pray. He says, ask me, and I will make the nations what? Your inheritance, that's a bold prayer. God, I don't just want a house. I want a whole neighborhood. That's a bold prayer. Right? He says, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the end of the earth, what? Your possession. That's a promise. And that is a big promise that God makes. And he says, if you would only ask, if you would ask daringly, if you would ask audaciously, if you would ask with courage, if you would be so full of faith that you would make bold prayers, God promises to answer them. But here's why many of you can't say amen or yes. Because we have to ask an honest question, and a very valid question, a question that many of you have been asking since last week. Well, if this is true, if God has made such great promise, why is it that sometimes I pray and nothing happens? Why is it that sometimes we pray and nothing changes? Why is it that sometimes we pray and instead of things getting better, they get worse? Why? Very valid, honest question. And here's the good news. The Bible has an answer for that question. And in the book of James, we are given two reasons why sometimes we pray and things don't happen, although God has invited us not only to ask, but to ask boldly. Let's read James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Look at what it says right there in your outlines. He says, you want what you don't have. Look at this next part. So you scheme and kill to get it. Let me pause right there. Because many of us have read that verse and we've said, I've never killed anybody for something that I want. Well, it isn't always someone, but it is always something. And here's what James is saying. He's saying, the things that you want in your life, the things that you want to see happen in your life, you plan, you orchestrate, and you even kill sometimes your health, you kill your marriage, you kill your family, you kill your spiritual life, you kill the promises of God with the way you go about it to get what you want. Oh, I thought that was good. Yet, you don't have what you want. Here's why. Because you don't ask God for it. In other words, instead of going to God, we go about it our way. And even when you ask, here's the second one, you don't get it because your motives are what? All wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. I'm guilty of that. Anybody else? Anybody else of dressing up selfishness as spirituality? Lord, if I only had a BMW, you know, I could serve you happily. Lord, if you would only take me to Hawaii, I could experience your presence over there. See, the two reasons why our prayers go unanswered are simple, but so powerful. Number one, James says, because we don't ask. Because instead of relying on divine help, we voice it, but then we go about it our way. We try to do it with our intellect. We try to do it with our charisma. We try to do it with our connections instead of saying, God, I am believing that not only you can do it, but that you will do it, so I'm going to rely and wait on you. But the second reason why our prayers go unanswered is that not only do we not ask God, but when we do ask, a lot of times we ask the wrong way. Sometimes our prayers are driven by selfishness or greed or jealousy or anger or bitterness. And what drives our prayers is not the agenda of the kingdom of God, but our emotions and desires. So here's the challenge for today. It's not just about making bold prayers, but today what we're going to learn is to clear the path, to remove the obstacles, so that when we do dare to make bold prayers, God can say, yes, I'll answer them. And here's the catch. Follow me. The way you ensure that your prayers are answered is by making a different prayer. The way we make sure that God can say yes to our prayers is by making a very specific prayer. What prayer is that, Pastor Nestor? Well, David makes it in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. And look at what he says. David is praying, and here's what he prays. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Here's what I want you to notice. In this psalm, David is not asking for God to change his circumstances first. David is not focused on his enemies or his needs or the threats. No, he's not focused on the outer, but he's focused on the inside. Because David knows something that we often forget. That the greatest obstacle to God answering prayers often is not, the problem is not on the outside, but on the inside of us. So, to clear the path, to make sure that God can answer our bold prayers, begins by saying, Lord, first deal with me. First, look within me, and before you can fix the people around me, right? Because it's so easy, Lord, change my wife, change my kids, change my pastor, change my neighborhood. Before we can do that, we say, God, change me. So in these two verses, David makes four petitions that clear the path to make sure that God can answer our prayers. I want us to look at them. Are you ready? Yeah. Number one, here's the first one. Fill this out in your outline. Here's the first petition that David makes to open the way to answer prayer. And that is, he prays, examine my heart. In other words, God, reveal my true motives. The first prayer, the first petition that David makes is he says, God, reveal my true motives. Look at it, the first part of verse 23. David says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Why does David begin with the heart? Well, because the heart is the control center of our lives. The Bible tells us that everything begins In the heart. The heart in Scripture is where our desires, our motives, our will, and those things that we really desire are formed. So, to get prayer answer, we got to begin with the most important thing, and that is our heart. Listen, the greatest obstacle to God answering your prayer is not God's willingness. It's not God's power. It is our misaligned motives. It's so good. Listen to this. Wrong motives produce wrong prayers. Remember in the Gospels when Jesus said, who here, what father would give his son a snake if he asked him for a fish? And what Jesus was doing there is that he was saying that sometimes we think we're asking for fish when in reality we're asking for a snake. And he says no good father would give their son a snake. And that's what Jesus is addressing. He's addressing that in order for God to answer our prayers, we need to have the right motives. When our heart is self-centered, our prayers will be self-centered. But when our heart is God-centered, our prayers are going to be God-glorifying. So the first thing we need to address so that God can answer our prayers is to really check our heart and see what our motives are. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew 15:8. He said the following. He said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from who? From me. He says, these people come to me and they ask me. These people come to me and they sing to me. These people make bold prayers to me. But the truth is that their heart is not for me. The truth is that their heart is not aligned with my agenda. The truth is that their heart is not in my presence. So before we can ask God to heal us, before we can ask God to provide, before we can ask God to open a door, we need to ask ourselves, why do I want this? Is it for my comfort or is it for God's kingdom? Hey, can we just be really honest for a moment and really stop and examine that a lot of times our prayers are not for the glory of God, but for our comfort? And God often won't answer our prayers when our motives are not aligned with his heart. So the first petition that David makes is that he says, God, check my motives. God, check my heart. Make sure that what my heart is asking is aligned with what you want. Number two, here's the second petition that David makes. The second petition that opens the way to answer prayer is when David prays, test my thoughts. In other words, God, align my mind with your truth. Align my mind with your truth. The second part of verse 23, he says, test me and know my anxious thoughts. So David begins with the heart, our motives. But then he moves to the mind, to our thoughts, to our beliefs. Why? Because what fills your mind also shapes your prayers. Did you know that? Whatever fills your mind will greatly shape and mold what you pray and how you pray. And David uses an expression. He says, my anxious thoughts. Anxiety comes when we are not trusting God. Did you know that anxiety is more than an emotion? That anxiety is misaligned faith? When your faith is not in God, you feel anxious. Because your faith is not in the one who can do it, but your faith or your thoughts are what if, and what if that doesn't happen, and what if the worst case scenario? And David says, hey, God, I want to make sure that as I make these prayers, that I have the right thoughts. That I am thinking about your truth. That I am not guided by anxiety, by fear. And see, here's the thing. Anxiety and fear are like a wrong forecast. Right? Nobody likes the weather people, right? Because they never get it right. Have you ever made plans to do a party or go somewhere, but there was the forecast was that it was going to rain that day? So you're like, well, maybe we should cancel it and pick another day because it's going to be raining. We don't want to go to Disneyland when it's raining. Then the day comes and it doesn't rain. That's what anxiety and fear are like. Where you make decisions where you're guided by what's in your head that you have no control and that most of the time doesn't even come true. And listen, the Bible makes it very clear that the victories and the defeats in our Christian life are won in our mind. Our thoughts greatly matter. And listen, it is not a sin to feel anxious. Did you hear me? It's not a sin to feel fear. It is a sin to allow anxiety to guide your life. It is a sin to allow fear. Those feelings only point to the fact that you are human. You and I as human, we feel fear. We feel anxious. But we as people of God are not to be controlled or not to be guided by those fears. Look at what Paul says regarding our thoughts. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, he says, take every thought captive and make it obedient to what? Christ. To Christ. And he's saying the same thing David is saying. He's saying, God, help me test my thoughts. Help me to get my thoughts in line with your truth. Because the wrong thoughts will impact your prayer. And it impacts it in at least two ways. Number one, when you don't have the right thoughts, the wrong thoughts will shrink your prayers. And you won't pray as big because of what you're thinking. Well, what if I dare and it doesn't happen and then I become a fool? Well, what if I get my hopes up and God says no and then I feel disappointed? See, the wrong thoughts will shrink your prayers. And in the worst case scenario, the wrong thoughts will silence your prayers. Come on, can we be honest? A lot of us, there's things that we stop praying for because we have the wrong thoughts about it. And we've just given up. We've learned to manage. We've learned to live. But listen, whenever anxiety or fear want to fill your thought life in regards to prayer, don't let it run wild. Don't let it run amok. You gotta instigate it. You gotta interrogate it with God's truth. And say, okay, what is it that I'm feeling? And is it what I should be feeling? Is it what the Word of God tells me? And if it's not, then you do what Paul says. He says, you take every captive thought and you make it obedient to Christ. And you say stuff like, yes, I am concerned. Yes, I am afraid because I'm going to get the results. But I know that God is in control and I know that God is my healer. And you align your thoughts to God's truth. Number three, the third petition that opens the way to answer prayer is when David says, point out my sins. In other words, God, confront my rebellion. So David not only prays for his heart, he not only prays for his thoughts, but now he prays about what he does and how he lives. And look at how he expresses that. In verse 24, the first part, David says, point out anything that offends who? You. You know, we live in a time where you have to be socially acceptable, where you have to be socially conscious because you don't want to offend anybody. But we've forgotten that the number one person we should not offend is God. Amen. And that sin is offensive to God. And listen, sin, when it comes to prayer, it's more than just bad behavior. Sin is what breaches. Sin is what breaks your relationship between us and God. Because prayer is a conversation. But when sin gets in the way, it breaks that connection. It creates a distance between us and God. And and the third reason that sometimes our prayers don't get answered is because there's sin in our life. And that's why David says, Lord, before I can ask you for all these things, first align my heart, align my thoughts, and also align my life. If there's any sin in my life, reveal it. Let me know about my rebellion. Let me know about my disobedience. Because church, here it is. And please, you need to know that nothing will hinder your prayers like sin. And sometimes our prayers cannot reach the throne of God because there's sin in the way. And because our sins have separated us from the presence of God. Look at what Isaiah 59:2 says. It says, it is your sins that have cut you off from who? From God. Because of your sins, he has turned away and will not listen anymore. And then in Psalm 66:18, it says, if I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord will not have what? Listen. Please hear me. I know that we live in a time where people don't like to talk about sin. Right? Just bless me. Just tell me what God is going to do for me, but don't tell me what I'm doing that offends God. But I got to tell you today that as we make bold prayers, sin will shut the heavens on you. Sin will make it impossible for God to answer and to do what he wants to do in your life. If you're asking God to bless you financially, but you're not honoring, if you're not obeying God financially, you are hindering yourself. If you're asking God to bless your marriage, to heal your marriage, but you are not honoring, if you're not obeying God when it comes to your marriage, you are closing the heavens on you. So David prays, God, help me to know, make me sensitive to those things that hinder you. And a lot of times it's our attitude. A lot of times it's the way we talk. A lot of times it's habits that are offensive, that are contrary to the glory of God. So David prays and he says, God, show me. Now, let me tell you how God shows you, because there's two words that are used and they make a world of difference. And the reason a lot of times we don't like to talk about sin, we don't like to address our sin, is because we confuse the two words. And when it comes to addressing sin, when it comes to God pointing out our sin, there's two words that I want you to have in mind. And the first one is condemnation. And I want you to know that condemnation does not come from God. Condemnation is what the enemy wants to do with your sin. He wants to condemn you. He wants to tell you that you'll never be forgiven, you'll never change, that it is too late, that you're a mess, and that the story's over. But when it comes to sin and God, when God points out our sin, he convicts us. He doesn't condemn us. He convicts us. And you know what the difference between condemnation and conviction is? Conviction is God saying, hey, this is wrong. And I love you too much to leave you in that wrong. I want to help you change. And that's what David is praying about here. He's not praying about condemnation. He's praying about conviction. And listen, conviction is the work of the Holy Spirit, is the light of the Holy Spirit shining in those dark areas of our lives. You know, when you're stealing stuff that you shouldn't be stealing, and you feel something in your heart, that's the Holy Spirit convicting you, saying, hey, you're better than this. You don't have to do this, and I want to help you change. You know, when you keep vaping and you've said 100 times that you're going to stop smoking, and there's a voice in you that tells you that you can change, that's the Holy Spirit saying, let me help you. Let me make you new. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, but we often confuse those two words. And we excuse, we hide our sin. And let me tell you something. Can I tell you something? God will address our sins privately. Hear me. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to teach you. Hear me. This is important. God will address our sins privately. But he loves us so much that when we don't listen, he will.
We hope you enjoyed this message. But before you go, we want to extend an invitation to start a personal relationship with Jesus and declare him your God. No one loves you like Jesus, and no one will impact your life for good like Jesus will.
Be like David.
Would you make the following prayer your prayer?
Help me.
Heavenly Father, I repent of my wrongdoing. I open my heart, and I want to have a personal relationship with you. I trust that Jesus died so I could be forgiven. But he didn't stay dead. He rose back to life so I could have eternal life.
You might want to write them down.
From today on, I will follow you, transform my life through your truth and love. In Jesus' name, amen. Congratulations. If you made that prayer, God lives in you, and now you have a new life in him. Connect to a church so your faith and love for God can continue to grow. We believe that you can find a loving and encouraging community in Dayspring Church. Come visit us. You belong here. We would love to meet you.
Stuff that is sin that we've normalized. I think there's shows with too much nudity that we've just excused. And the reason we don't feel condemnation anymore is because we don't open up ourselves and say, Holy Spirit, search me. Point out in me the things that offend you. I believe that there's language that we casually use that is offensive to God. But because we're not saying, search me. We're not sensitive to that. So it begins by saying, search me. But then second, you got to listen with humility. You got to listen with humility. If you're going to ask the Holy Spirit to search you, then you got to listen with humility. You got to stop making excuses. You got to stop justifying sin. You got to stop saying, well, you know, we've just been like this for such a long time. And I've even gone to therapy. No. We're a new creation in Christ. The more you excuse your sin, the harder it's going to be for God to change it. So you listen with humility. But here's what you also do. You confess it immediately. You agree with God. To confess is to agree with God. And you say, yes, God. Yes. Yes, that's wrong. Yes, I don't have the right attitude. Yes, I make excuses. Yes, I'm living in sin. You confess it immediately. Let me tell you why confessing it immediately is important. Because unless you confess it, you can't move to the next point. Then after you confess it, you receive his forgiveness. You embrace his forgiveness. We don't have these up there. I thought I put them out now. Okay. That's my fault then. I thought I had put them. Then you receive his forgiveness. And listen, whatever you confess to God, you better know he forgives you. Amen. At least that's what John tells us, right? That he is faithful and just to what? To forgive us. But you don't stop there. You don't stop there because that's where a lot of people stop. And that's why we keep going to the cycle, right? You smoke weed and then you confess it to God. You smoke weed again and then you confess it to God. You watch porn and then you ask God to forgive you. Then you go back to watching porn and you ask God to forgive you. You know why? Because we missed the last step. After we confess it and we receive it for his forgiveness, then we walk in repentance. And you know what repentance is? Repentance is, if I was going to go hang out with Manolo and I repented of doing that, I head the other way. That's what repentance is. If I'm walking one way and I recognize that God says that's wrong, not only do I recognize it, not only do I ask for forgiveness, but I do the opposite. And because we don't live in repentance, that's why we keep going back to the weed. We keep going back to the stealing. We keep going back to having sex outside of marriage. We go back to watching things we shouldn't watch. Not because God doesn't forgive us, but because we don't walk in repentance. All right, I knew you weren't going to say amen there, but sin is blocking our prayers. It really is. And when it comes to prayer, it's so easy to look at God and say, well, God, why aren't you doing this? And God is saying, because your heart is misaligned, because your thoughts are not in alignment with your truth, and because your life is bound by sin. But here's the fourth one. Here's the fourth one. The fourth petition that opens the way to answer prayer is when David prays, guide me on the path of life. And here's what David is saying. He's saying, God, direct my steps. God, direct my steps. in the last part of verse 24, he says, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Now, look at this. This is so wonderful. I hope you see why this is the key to answer prayer. David says, address my heart. I want the right motives. God, examine my thoughts. I want your truth. And God, point out anything in me that is offensive to you. In other words, let's address it. And he says, align my heart, address my thoughts, and cleanse me of my sin. Here's why. You ready for this? So that then you can lead me to the everlasting life. So that then you can take me to where the answers are. Because see, what hinders prayer is that we won't follow God where his yes is. And the reason we won't follow it is because there's either sin, because there are either wrong thoughts, or there's either wrong motives. And David says, hey God, lead me on the path of life. Because see, forgiveness addresses the past, but it is his leading that shapes the future. Amen. And when God can shape your future, let me tell you, that's where the answer to our prayers are. When we say, God, I want you to do this. God, I am believing you can do this. God, I am trusting you to answer this. We need him to lead us into where those prayers are answered. Look at what Jeremiah 10:23 says. He says, I know, Lord, that people's lives are not their own. I know you think you're your own, right? You're not your own. Especially if you're married. You belong to your wife. I know, Lord, that people's lives are not their own. Look at this. It is not for them to direct or what? Their steps. And that's why David prays. He says, Lord, lead me on the path of everlasting life. Can I tell you, not only is the Lord's leading essential so that the Lord can take us to where our prayers are answered. Hear me. Not only is it that, but here's why it is important for the Lord to lead us, okay? Because the path of everlasting life is not just about heaven, but it is about heaven here on earth now. Yes. And see, many of us, we're looking to heaven one day, but we don't want to experience heaven here now. And yes, earth will never be heaven. But you don't have to wait to heaven to experience the goodness of God. I love what David said. David said, I believe I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So God leading us into everlasting life, it's about experiencing a piece of heaven here on earth. So church, how do you do that? Well, let me give you some practical ways because I really want to help you. I think I put these. If I didn't, I owe you two, okay? But let me give you some steps, some practical steps. How do you allow the Lord to lead you on the path of everlasting life? Number one, submit your plans to God. Submit your plans to him. Hey, do you ever pray about God's will for the plans you make? Or do you just ask God to bless everything you do? We should ask the Lord. Hey, can I tell you a secret? I know these guys keep telling me I don't have time, but I'm going to take the time. I'm going to make a confession. I'm as human as you are. So if this seems a little shallow to you, it's okay? But I just want to let you in into my spirituality, into my relationship with God. So the last few months, my schedule has greatly changed. I'll save you the details. But one of the areas that it affected was in my disciplined life when it comes to like exercising and eating well, right? I gained weight. I gained a little bit more than 10 pounds. And you guys are really good at helping me notice that. I was gone for 2 weeks and I show up the first day and I had like 6 people tell me, you look a little thicker. Thank you. Lord, heal my heart. So I tell you that not to feel bad, but I tell you that to know where I'm going. So I said, I believe God can help me to be more disciplined in my health and in my eating. So you know what I've been doing the last 3 weeks? Every morning when my alarm sounds, I say, God, can you help me get up? I know you think that's silly, but I don't. And when I sit down to eat, you know what I've been praying in my mind? God, would you help me to have self-control and make good choices? I'd love to tell you I lost 10 pounds in 3 weeks, but I have not. But I'm on the right direction. You see what happens when you involve God, not just in the big emergencies, but in the little things in life? What if you began to tell the Lord, God, would you help me not to scream at these wild monkeys? Lord, would you help me to not lose it on the road? I believe He would help you. So if you want God to lead you, the first thing you got to do is submit your plans. Number two, here's the second thing you got to do. You got to stay in His Word, because the number one way God's going to speak to you is through His Word. If you want to know what God, how God is going to lead you, you got to stay in His Word. And then number three, you got to follow promptly. When God gives you directions, you got to follow it right away. Okay, delayed obedience is disobedience. And then last but not least, you got to stay dependent. You got to keep trusting in God. Even when God gets you to the promised land, you got to keep trusting God. Amen? All right. I want to do something. I want to ask the worship team if you guys can come up here. By the way, if you weren't here last Sunday, one of the things that I invited everybody to do was to take an index card and to make a bold prayer. And we're believing that God is going to answer those. So if you weren't at church last Sunday and you didn't get a chance to do that, Rosie's going to have some index cards. After the service, you can pick one up from her. And then you can come and just lift this up carefully. Don't break it. And you can put your prayer in there. And we're going to be praying for those. But please, don't lose this. I believe there's some wonderful prayers in here. And no, I have not read them. I have not read them. Okay? I have ethic, and it's not my business. It's between you and God. But I am confident that the prayers that are in here, God wants to answer. But today, before we say, God, answer this, God, address this, can we tell Him, God, address this? Can we clear the path? Can we get our wrong motives? Can we get the wrong thoughts? Can we get the wrong lifestyle out of the way? And pray like David prayed. And say, God, examine my heart. Test my thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you. And lead me to the everlasting life. Here's what I want to invite you to do. I want to invite us to pray out loud. Pray out loud. We're going to pray it out loud. That same prayer that David made. And we're going to pray it out loud together. Slowly, thoughtfully, and with all of our heart. And after we pray it, the worship team is going to lead us into a short time. And I want you to listen to God. And I want you to talk to God. And if God points out wrong motives, don't excuse them. Confess them. Say, Lord, help me change. If God points out, or maybe you already know, the thoughts, the beliefs that you have that don't align to God, this morning, address it. If God has been pointing out your sin, it is not condemnation, it's conviction. It is an invitation for Him to change. Would you bow your head with me? I want you to repeat after me, loud, thoughtfully, and slowly. Pray with me and say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you. And lead me along the path of everlasting life.
We hope you enjoyed this message. But before you go, we want to extend an invitation to start a personal relationship with Jesus and declare Him your God. No one loves you like Jesus, and no one will impact your life for good like Jesus will. Would you make the following prayer your prayer? Heavenly Father, I repent of my wrongdoing. I open my heart and I want to have a personal relationship with you. I trust that Jesus died so I could be forgiven, but He didn't stay dead. He rose back to life so I could have eternal life. From today on, I will follow you. Transform my life through your truth and love. In Jesus' name, amen. Congratulations. If you made that prayer, God lives in you and now you have a new life in Him. Connect to a church so your faith and love for God can continue to grow. We believe that you can find a loving and encouraging community in Dayspring Church. Come visit us. You belong here. We would love to meet you.